Chiropractic family, how's it going? Now, I want to talk to you guys about Within You Supplements. This is Mark's supplement line. And the amazing thing is Mark used to be 330 pounds. He was a fat guy. So obviously, this stuff tastes really damn good. But another cool thing about Within You Supplements is that none of these products are white labeled. Now, what a lot of people do when they come out with their own supplement lines is they do something called white labeling. And white labeling, all that means is there's a supplement that's already out there. They take off the tag of that supplement. They put their name on it. And now it's their supplement line. Quite literally, there's nothing else like Within You Supplements out there because Mark formulated these supplements with other individuals that he knows within the industry, like Joel Green, who we've had on this podcast. So you guys should check out Within You. We have amazing whey protein, electrolyte supplements. We have fasting gum and many other things on the website. Andrew, how can they check it out?
Nothing but high quality ingredients with zero fillers. Head over to markbellslingshot.com and use promo code POWERPROJECT to save 15% off all Within You products. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
I think it's pretty cool. Like the last several guests that we've had on, we've had a lot of great people on. I mean, even just yesterday, talking to our dick doctor.
Hey, that Dr. was some, Judson.
That was some pretty great knowledge that he dropped on us yesterday. And it's been amazing. This the last few months of the different people that we're influenced by. And I know that you and I and Andrew, we're all starting to incorporate some of these things that we've learned from Ben Patrick, some stuff that we learned from the Gota guys, some stuff that we've learned from Kelly Starrett. Mm. But there's also like kind of an underlying current of everything as well of just kind of like learn how to be a dude, learn how to be a guy, learn how to be a man from some of these people.
Yeah.
Some of these people are people I admire quite a bit. Kelly Starrett is a great family man and just an awesome dude. Somebody I admired for a long time, having Corey Schlesinger here. It's great to see that he's like now engaged and he's kind of thinking of a family and those kinds of things. So it's cool to see all these progressions and it's great to utilize some of the stuff that these people share with us, whether it be something that's philosophical or whether it be something in the gym. I know that you've been doing some of those side sled drags. Yeah. And you and I did them on one day and we got a little ambitious and we started pulling like five plates. We got wrecked from it, but now you've been doing it a little more often and you feel pretty good from it.
Absolutely. You know, you just, you start something new, you adapt to it and it becomes like something you get used to because remember I told you we were doing we did some lateral sledge drags. We did some of the jumping kettlebell lunges. We did some lateral kettlebell lunges. I go home, I sit down, I eat. And when I get up, I have to be hunched over because my adductors and my whole groin area doesn't want to flex. Like I had to drink two packets of fucking electrolytes so that I could finally start moving again. But the next two times that I did that and I've implemented it, I don't feel that sore anymore. And, I've unlocked another great use for my body. Like that's the great thing about all the people that come on because we're able to add things in. And I got some funny comment of a dude who's like, how do you program all of this? Because there's so much we're doing now. There's so many things we're all adding into our workout routines. But you know, you just get proficient enough and then you just sprinkle it in where you can. So I am on top of the world with all the stuff that we're doing right now.
Sprinkle it in. I think that's like the key term right there. I kind of do the same thing. I'm like, what do I feel like doing today? I don't necessarily have it really mapped out. Today, when I saw you in the gym, I was like, all right, well, Nsima's already training. I might as well do a little something. And so I just did some of those stretches that Ben Patrick showed us on the incline bench, trying to open up the hip and things like that. And so for me, it's been pretty easy. I'm like, okay, let me do some of the go-to stuff because a lot of that's great for warm-up. Mm-hmm. I do some of their groundwork. I do a little bit of their squats. And then I might pull the sled backwards or something. Once my body's warm, now I can kind of go in on just like whatever I think would be good for the day. I can kind of feel it out. Yesterday when you guys were messing around with that muscle machine, the machine that magically adds muscle to you.
M-Sculpt.
While you sit there, you're just getting more and more jacked.
That's all you got to do for abs and biceps. Mm-hmm.
While you were doing that, I was doing some dumbbell bench press mixed with the ski erg, mixed with some like lat pull downs. It was just... I just kind of went. I try not to have any rest. And, you know, just, again, picking that up from someone like Chris Henshaw. Like, Henshaw's like, hey, try something that's really demanding and then surround it with another exercise or two that's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Dumbbell bench pressing's pretty easy. Like, it's not that taxing. lat pull downs are really easy, but the ski erg, if you try to keep a certain amount of force going on that, a certain amount of watts for a certain period of time, it can be challenging. So it's fun to, like, you know, have implemented a lot of these things. When I got here today, I see Nsema running laps around the building, and there's nothing worse than coming here and seeing one of you guys already worked out, because most of the time I usually have gotten a workout in already.
Yeah.
And when I saw it today, I was like, damn, I love that he's getting after it, but god damn, I should have got here a little earlier and got my shit in. What's possessing you to run at the moment?
Corey Schlesinger, man, and Chris Hinshaw, because Corey said it right. Like, he's like, you know, you're weak as piss. He didn't say I was weak as piss, but it kind of echoed in my mind, because I played soccer for 15 years and running was just a normal thing for me. And now, like, you know, I get kind of easily winded when running. Like, I can run well, but not at the pace that I think I should be able to run at. You know, with how well I am cardiovascularly with jiu-jitsu, I should be better at running. And when we were talking on this on with Corey, I was like, you know, we were saying how it's just like a natural human movement. People should be able to run, like jog and run. We should all be able to. We should all have the capacity, not like 8 or 6 minute miles for multiple miles, but maybe like an 8-9 minute mile. Like, we should be able to do that. And the fact that, like, that would actually make me a little bit winded, I think is pathetic. So I want to work on it.
Yeah, you may as well explore it a little bit. Yeah, I think the comment was, I said, like, if you are a, you know, champion, or you're basketball, I think I said basketball player, if you're an NBA basketball player,
yeah,
you should be able to be woken up in the middle of the night and be able to easily run 2 or 3 miles. And my point wasn't that you should be only training for that capacity, because then you would miss out on a lot of other things that would make you a great basketball player. And that would be foolish for you to try to get like a 12-minute 2-mile run. You're probably not necessary, probably not really needed. But the point being just that you're very physically fit. And then his counter to that was like, that's just a human like necessity. Like, you should be able to do that. And to dial it back a pinch, I wouldn't say that, like, I believe that everyone should be able to do that on a whim. You do need some training for it. But if you are working out and you're enthusiastic about your fitness and you can't do that, I would work towards being able to do something similar to that. And maybe your version of that is just that you're able to do 400 meters at any time. But you should be able to one lap around the track.
Yeah.
And you consider yourself fairly fit and you work out 3-4 days a week. That should be very easy for you.
Yeah. And we're not trying to put, because I saw somebody, I think they commented, we posted on the Power Project Instagram, and somebody, or is the YouTube? Yeah, it was the YouTube Power Byte, and somebody mentioned you guys shouldn't be putting value judgments on fitness. And we're not trying to put say you're inherently not a valuable human if you can't run a lap, or like Mark's saying, run 400 meters. But we're trying to say, you know, if you want to live a long, healthy life with good longevity of your body, right? You know, when you're older, if you have kids, or if you have grandkids, do you want to be able to maybe run with them when they're running around? Or do you want to feel like, oh, you can't run with your grandchildren, right? When I think about all these things, I think about what am I going to look like when I'm 50, 60, 70? Mm-hmm. I don't want to just be big and jacked, as great as that would be and as nice as that would look. I want to be able to do things with my kids and my grandkids at that point. I want to be able to run around with them without having my knees feel like shit, right? Because that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's okay to say, like, I want to be a, like a really jacked grandfather.
I do.
Because, like I mentioned before, we have a very difficult time, especially younger people, have a difficult time looking into the future. Like, we have no idea. So when you say, I want to be able to roll around with my kids, it's like, I don't even have a girlfriend right now. Like, how am I going to have, like, I'm not worried about that. Like, let me, you know, anyways. And then, so when you say grandchildren, it's like, dude, like, I haven't even, you know, started step.
I haven't had kids.
That's what I mean. You know, so it's really hard. So I think if you think about, like, damn, yeah, I want to be that grandfather that people have no idea that I'm even a grandfather. Like, I think that's okay. I think it's okay to be a little vain about it, because what comes with looking that well, like, you're more than likely going to be healthier, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying like bodybuilders and stuff are extremely healthy all the time, but if you're at that age and you have that much muscle development, you're going to be much better off. You're going to be able to move probably. You're going to be just, yeah, getting down on the ground is not going to be like a chore.
It's really insightful to be able to recognize that, Andrew, because a lot of people, that are young are just excited about whatever it is they're currently doing. They're not really looking into their future. But if you want to work yourself backwards from like some type of success, then I think it's important that you do investigate what your future does look like. So, for example, you want to be a bodybuilder. You want to get an IFBB pro card. Well, let's work our way backwards from like what that would look like. Like, what do other IFBB pros do to get to that spot? Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have to do all the same things, but it sounds like it's pretty intensive in terms of the amount of time that it takes, the amount of hours that it takes to get into the gym. It sounds like there's a lot of understanding from whoever your significant other might be and so forth. So you want to kind of think about all those different things that would allow you to gain access to an IFBB pro card. Maybe you would have to have a job where you work from home and just make like a decent amount of money, and you don't have a job that's pulling so much time away from you, not allowing you to train as much as you need to, and all those various things. So I think it's important that anybody looks into their future. And the greatest song of all time, Blunt Blown from Lil Wayne, he says, if you want to look into your future, all you got to do is close your eyelids. So you do need to think about these things. You do need to like kind of, you need to think about like, what's your future going to look like? And you need to sort of, I like to work my way backwards into stuff. If I want to be successful at stuff, if I want to make a lot of money, then I know that it's going to take a lot of time, because I move a little slow, and I'm aware of that with myself. So, but I don't have any problem being persistent, and I don't have any problem with shit taking forever. As you guys see, like, I'm late a lot of times. A lot of times this show goes on forever. A lot of times I talk forever. I don't have any problem dragging people out into the deep end, because I can't swim that fast, but I can stay afloat for a long time.
Let me add on to that, man. What you said there is a big deal, because, like, for example, a lot of people, and you know, it's cool to want to make a lot of money, but doing that can do it very short if you do certain things in certain businesses, but it can take you a while if you're doing something. And when I've always thought about that, I've always been like, okay, well, I do want to make a certain amount of money by a certain point. But the biggest thing that I need to try to continue to focus on is being healthy. This is going to take me some time. And I know guys in my life that they've sacrificed their health because they've had to do their certain things to make a certain amount of money. And as much as, I mean, that's shit, you're rich now or whatever, maybe you can now take care of your health. I focus on my health because, like, I know that once I have all this money, right, I want to be as healthy as possible to do with what I want to do with it. Another thing is when I think about kids, because I've talked about that multiple times. I don't have kids. I'm 29 and I don't have kids yet, right? But I have no problem waiting 5 or 6 more years to have kids, because I know that I'm dealing with my health. Right now I'm focusing on how healthy I am. And even though to some people I'd be an older dad, I wouldn't physically be an older dad. I'd be a guy that's in his 30s mm-hmm. with the body of a 20-something-year-old, with the movement, with the energy of a 20-something-year-old, because of the things that we're focusing on here. And by the time I'm in my 50s, I'll still be in the body of a 30-something-year-old. Like, I won't be old. People won't even think I'm old, because people always talk about anti-aging and all that type of shit. But the shit that we're doing is actually the real anti-aging shit. The working out, the focusing on movement, the focusing on being able to have good cardiovascular health. These are the things that are going to keep us vibrant when we get into when I get into my 30s, but when you get into your 50s and 60s, you're still going to be able to fucking run, and you're going to have great bone density, and you're going to be strong. You're not going to be your average 60-year-old. You're not going to be your average 40-year-old. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right now, like, even your back's getting better. You are quite mm-hmm. literally aging backwards because of the shit that we're continuing to do on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So when you're in your 40s, you're going to be feeling better than you did when you were 25.
Yeah.
This is anti-aging, not a fucking supplement or a pill. It's the shit that we're doing right now.
Or a machine some fucking lasers or some shit.
Yeah.
Two comments that I just wanted to point out on the IG reel that we posted up. They were both
ab one?
No, the human capacity. Like, you should be able to at least, you know, I think we said like walk or run a lap.
Yeah.
You know, it was very minimal things. Hang for 30 seconds. Somebody was just like, yeah, I always wanted to be able to like hang for a long time, because I always imagined like, what if I had to hang on like at the edge of a cliff? And I'm like, dude, as a kid, I used to think about that all the time.
Same here.
So there was that. And then someone else said that they train to run marathons in case, you know, something happens and they have to run 26 miles for shelter or food. And I was like, fuck. Like, yeah, like I'd be struggling because I'd have to walk, but at least I could walk.
I would die.
I would have to walk, right?
Yeah, imagine
we could walk. Yeah, we could get there. But
imagine you're like in Nebraska or some shit, your car breaks down and you got to go 10 miles one way and 10 miles another to get back to the car to give it gas or to get a little food to your family or whatever, right? I mean,
yeah,
you wouldn't necessarily have to be able to run the whole thing, but it would be helpful so that you can move a little faster.
But real quick, one on Andrew said, that's why I find rock climbers or individuals who do bouldering.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. That's
Did either one of you guys see the alpinist? Is that how you say alpinist? Alpinist?
The alpinist?
Alpinist.
No, I've never seen it. What is it?
It is a sick fucking movie. Be careful how much stuff you look up on it though, Andrew, because you don't want to.
No spoilers.
But no, it's fucking awesome.
I found a trailer.
So wait, what's it about?
It's
will
about,
we get copyrighted if we show the trailer?
No, it's
okay.
it's
a trailer, so we should be okay.
It's the sickest motherfucker ever. This guy.
Oh God,
he's climbing with a fucking pickaxe.
Is that why you're saying be careful?
With no like, he doesn't have any like things attached. Wow,
no, he's like, you know what's cool is we've been talking on this show for so long about interpretation. And how everything's so that's the motherfucker they did the other documentary on, the famous climber.
Oh, he's from Sacramento, I think.
I forget what that
did. The free climber, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, free solo.
Free solo, there we go. So that guy talks about how nuts this guy is, the guy they just showed right there with the little afro going on.
he went to my high school.
He looks like raw meat experiment.
He does look like raw meat experiment.
Yeah, he does, right? Look at him hula hooping like a motherfucker.
Let's go.
But what's cool is everyone talks about how crazy he is and the things that he does and how dope it is. First of all, he doesn't film half the stuff that he does. And even when they're making this movie, he wouldn't even allow them to film a lot of stuff. He just goes, he goes dark for a while. He doesn't even communicate with them. He doesn't talk to them. And he just goes and like does like the most epic climb of all time. It's just wild. But when they ask him about it, he's just like, this is what I love to do. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't make anything of it. He's not like, oh my God, like you wouldn't even believe how hard this last one was. Or he like broke the free solo guy's record one time. He just went out. He didn't even know there was like a record. He just went and like climbed this mountain. Wow. And he got like this time and he gets to the top and everyone's like, you just crushed the record by like 3 minutes. He's like, what record? He's like, there's a record for this, you know? And he's just an explorer. He's just having a lot of fun. And you find that, you'll see that time and time and time again. And I mentioned this before. Anderson Silva, one of my favorite fighters of all time, they went to his house in Brazil. His beautiful house, beautiful cars, beautiful everything. And he was the champ for a long time. They asked him, hey, how'd this come to be? He's like, it just is. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing this since I was a kid. Like, he made it sound like no sweat. And you're like, really? Mm. What's the secret? Give me the secret. You know, but there isn't a secret. It's just... these guys are just good at what they do.
Yeah, and they love it. So it's funny.
They love it.
This could segue into what we were talking about before we got on air, but my dad officially like retired again because of like he's just like has to be there for my mom and like take her to different appointments and stuff. So he officially like, all right, I'm done. So what does this fucker do? My parents' backyard is just full of like car parts and like project cars because that's just car dudes. That's just how we roll. And he went from waking up at like 5 a.m. to go to work every single day to waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the backyard to do literally the exact same thing he was getting paid to do, only now he's just doing it for free on his own shit. And he plain and simply said, it's what I love to do. And just left it at that. It's like, fuck, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Dad, is that hard to get in there and get behind that engine and do that? He'd be like, what? Why are you asking me that, son? Like, it's not hard.
Yeah, he's like, you know, just like he's just like me. He's like slender, except like maybe probably like less, 20 pounds less. But he's like moving whole cars because that's just what he has to do. This man took a body off of one car, took the frame, put it under another car all by himself. Car dudes are like, oh yeah, you can do that. But like this guy is 68 years old and he's doing it in grass, uneven everything, you know, like fucking Black Widows all over the place. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it's just what I love to do. It's like, All right, I guess so.
I think Nsema said the term earlier about valuable human. Like we, you know, we're encouraging you to possess some of these abilities. But I would even kind of ride the line a little harder and say, like, I don't think you're a valuable human if you can't do stuff physically. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to set the bar really high for you because your bar is your bar and that's up to you. But everyone should be able to admit that they have weaknesses and everyone should be able to admit that they can make progress in nearly just about anything. There's always like caveats to that. And there's always like people with handicaps and there's people with like mental disorders and things like that. So I don't want to bash on any of that. But most of us are pretty functional and most of us are abusing our own ability. And I'm guilty of this myself, of our own capabilities. Like things for like, for me, I don't read. But that doesn't serve me well, just to say that I can't read or I have trouble reading. It's foolish. I should actually just fucking read. It would be beneficial.
And no, like when you say you don't read, because of what you just said, like the valuable human thing, you still listen to a lot of books and you still listen to a lot of like, you listen to a lot of books, you listen to a lot of like seminars, you listen to a lot of speeches and stuff. So you are still consistently learning. It's just for you, reading isn't your best conduit to be able to learn certain things. And that's it, you know, but you're still out here fucking learning shit. And with what you just said right there, as far as like the, you're not valuable, like, for some people, they're going to say, easy for you guys to say, you've been working out since you were a kid. You played sports. I've been playing sports since I was six. I've been working out since I was 13. So for me, the physical culture has been a big part of my life. But even so, I still have things outside of like working out that I like to do, that I like to read. But I do think that just having that physicality aspect to myself, which I'm eternally grateful for my mom for putting me in sport, because she put me in sport, but I also had a big emphasis on academics. That has given me a back behind the scenes level of confidence in myself because I don't feel weak. Like physically, I feel like a strong human being. And I'm not just talking about lifting bars. Like I feel like since I have that skill, it's allowed me to go into other areas and improve those other areas in my life as far as like my mind and my ability to do other things. And I think that generally, you know, if you're an individual, because like you just mentioned, you need to find something that truly interests you, like your like your dad, Andrew, right? For some people, the things that interest them are video games. And I used to play a lot of video games, and I right before college, I deleted the accounts on certain games that I had that were like MMORPGs, because I'm like, if I continue to try to build my character in this fake world and continue investing my time here, I'm not going to be able to really invest my time into being a valuable human being. I need to get rid of this. I still do play games on my PS5, but single player shit, just because it doesn't take as much time investment. And I know people are also going to mention, there are people out here that make money with video games, real good money, streamers. Streaming is huge. But even in that sense, I think there's a level of confidence that you still have. If you're like an individual that streams games and the game thing is what you like to do, but you also have a strong physical aspect to yourself, we cannot deny that having just some physical confidence will make you confident as a guy. Like you need to develop that. You can't just sit around and game. And even if you're making money with it, there's something that it's that you can't replicate here. It's the real world. You can't replicate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a physical side of things, and there's a mental side of things, and then there's like a metaphysical spiritual side of things. Mm-hmm. And I think, and there could be other stuff that I'm kind of missing, but those are fundamental, and you need to have all of them kind of in place. And if you're pulling so hard in one direction, you're missing out on some other things. So when you're trying to be as strong as possible, or you're trying to, you know, bodybuild or something like that, you might be missing out on some of the mental side of things, or the physiological, or the physical, or the, I'm sorry, the emotional side of things. You might be missing out on some other aspects, like where you kind of get like the meathead guy, you know, and you're like, this, we've interviewed people like this before. We've had people on the show, like, and they have world records, and we tried it. We're like trying to get more stuff out of them, but there's nothing there because all they did was focus on their strength. Mm-hmm. And some people communicate better than others. Some people have better stories and things like that. But for the most part, we've seen that. More recently, I was communicating with Pete Rubish, and he's talking about this kind of transformation that he's undergone and how he's excited. He's going to go back to the USAPL. He's waiting till he's drug free for 3 years. Wow. And he's going through this whole thing, you know, but he's loving lifting. He's loving what it means to him now. And he's like, I kind of went, you know, some of your route. And so he and I were going back and forth on that. And I kind of mentioned to him, you know, I was lucky because I met Andy at such a young age that although I did get lost in the numbers, and I did trade out probably my original passion for trying to reach like some sort of glory or something like that at some point. And I got lost in the shuffle somewhere along the line. It was only for like a second. And then I was able to recalibrate and make more sense of it. And then ultimately I got hurt to the point where, I always say that pain is the ultimate teacher. It's my mentor, you know? Yeah. So falling with that weight helped me to kind of recalibrate and get back in line with what I was doing. But my whole point is, and I think a lot of what we're going to talk about on this show today, is you have to have done some stuff in your life to think that you're something. You can't just have a positive affirmation. You can't just have mommy telling you that you're great and that you're beautiful and that you're a special kid. You actually have had to do some of those things in the real world and get admiration, and you need to like feedback from other people. You need like proof that you have actually done something. I know it sounds kind of weird, but you need pats on the back from other people. Some people have never hit a home run. Some people have never scored a touchdown. Some people never scored a goal in soccer. When you're on a soccer team for a couple of years and you're one of the leading scorers or leading defenders, you and everybody else is well aware of it. And the other team is well aware of it. The other team mm-hmm. watches tape and they're going, who's this guy? All that stuff plays into like your confidence and your value. Are you more valuable than the other people on the team? Yes, in that sense you are, because of the game that it is. They even will call you the MVP, the most valuable player. Mm. You're not the least valuable player. You could find the person on the team that's the least valuable player, as mean as all this kind of sounds to be. But there's a lot of things that go into being the best. And sometimes there's a genetic component to it. Sometimes it's a marriage of a bunch of things, right? Sometimes it's genetics. You worked really hard. You went to a bunch of camps, and no one ever talks about that shit. No one ever talks about how you sacrificed every summer for 8 years straight. My wife, the entire family never went on vacation because she was always swimming. You know, so there's things that happen behind closed doors. She's got a Division I scholarship. She's captain of the swim team. There's nobody fucking like her. She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so I think that you have to have done something in your life to be able to feel like you're actually something, to be strong enough on the inside, to be able to have that strength shown in the real world.
Yeah, I want to double down on that. So I was actually talking to a guerrilla chemist, Brian Moskow. Mm-hmm. We've been texting since he was on the show because, I mean, as you guys seen, like, I got pretty fired up. We're talking about nootropics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going back and forth talking about all kinds of different compounds and drugs and stuff. And I just told him, like, yeah, I used to be really, really into this stuff, like a straight up nerd, and like make my own stuff and do all these things. I'm like, but honestly, what I had to do was I had to like get some iron cred. I had to get into the gym and actually put in the time there. I had to stay up long nights working really hard because I was always searching for the next thing to help accomplish something else. Like I was always searching for a shortcut to help accomplish more things.
A potion.
I was trying to find a potion when I could have just got Mind Bullet. Instead of actually putting in the work to like actually become something else. So now if I do go back to some of these things, like, yeah, they might actually be more beneficial. But instead of trying to get a shortcut, I just had to do something. I had to become something in order for me to feel better. Because that's really what I was searching for. I was like, you know, I'm always like kind of depressed. And I'm always like anxious. I'm really quiet. So like maybe I can take some things that will help make me feel better, that'll help make me more outgoing. Alcohol will definitely make that work, but then you're kind of, you know, you're inebriated it's not real. So I had to get my ass out there, started getting really good at photography, and then to have the confidence enough to meet Mark and, you know, tell him, hey, I'm a photographer. But if I was, oh, I'm going to meet Mark, let me make sure I take all the alpha brain in the world, so that way I, when I meet him, I can talk to him.
Fucking alpha.
You know what I mean? Like, well, that's just the name of the
I know it's the name of the product, but the whole alpha beta thing.
Yeah. We'll but talk about instead that. Of, you know, actually putting in the work to become somebody, you know, it wouldn't have worked out.
Let me ask you, Andrew, as you started to deepen your physical abilities, you started to get stronger, all that started to happen. What did that do for you?
Maybe be more specific. Like, what do you
just
mean?
Just as an individual, how do you feel nowadays versus like as far as like your confidence level is concerned? Mm-hmm. Because you have a lot of skills. Mm-hmm. You're an amazing photographer. You know what you're doing with all of this stuff in terms of building a podcast, producing. You have a lot of skills and talents that you can use outside.
Seaman,
of
I have
just
no
this.
Skill when it comes to that. Like, Seaman can't even like reference what you do. He's trying to think of an example. You're good with all this sound shit.
No, I'm not reaching because Andrew set this whole motherfucker up, right? I didn't. Andrew did. I was just like, okay, you want me to put this here? Okay. Like, yeah. This was all you. But like the physical side of things, what has that done for you? Just in general.
Yeah, no, it's elevated everything. Like, I know that's kind of generic to say that, but it literally did. Confidence with my girlfriend at the time, you know, my wife now, like, I was always like, you know, looking more at other dudes in the gym, seeing if they're going to go talk to her, mm-hmm. versus kind of getting in shape and then just having confidence and just being like, hey, have fun, have a good workout. I'm going to go focus on my shit. You go do your thing. And then of course, outside of the gym, that just helped build that up completely, like so much better. I talk about being like a skinny guy growing up and kind of being an easy target. Well, now I add a little bit of size. Like I feel way more comfortable being with my family out and like going for a walk or something. So like when I talk about like dealing with depression, anxiety, and like always just being worried, a lot of that went away just by getting into the gym. So that was gigantic, right? Mm. And then with the confidence as a photographer, especially during a wedding, you are the show. Like everyone is there and this entire two family party all have their eyes on you. If you don't have confidence, you're going to lose them and you're not going to get your fucking job done. If I was still that weak, scrawny kid trying to demand, you know, I mean, and you know, like groomsmen, they're all bros, they're all drinking, they're all like, it's kind of like locker room talk all the time with them. If I go in there being real timid, they're going to eat me alive. Mm. I had to be able to get on their level, not like a bro, but just, you know, kind of like, hey, like I need you guys over here and like really command them. Without having strength in the gym, I would not have that strength outside of the gym to be able to command people to do what I needed them to.
Yeah.
And then, of course, here on this podcast, like there's times where we talk about lifting. I know what the fuck like a lot of this stuff is now. Mm-hmm. Same thing with diet. And then again, back to the confidence thing. Like Mark knows this too. Like I was extremely quiet coming in. I'm still very quiet, but I'm significantly more outspoken than I was when I first started.
And yesterday you were helping Sean Baker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
With his podcast, and how many people is he going to reach, and how many times has he been on like Joe Rogan, and how many people in our industry are always talk like people look to that guy for a lot of advice. He's somebody that we admire, and now you have the ability, the skill set to help him. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's incredible. And you know, and it's amazing to go home, tell, you know, I'm telling my wife, but we're at the dinner table and it's like, hey, like Sean Baker, like, you know, the like world's most famous carnivore, like FaceTimed me yesterday because he wants help. He wants me to help him with his podcast.
Maybe the smartest guy that we know. That guy's like on a different level.
Dude. Yeah. He's incredible. I'm just like, he's like a fucking doctor and he did all kinds of shit. Right. Like I don't even know all the things. And I'm telling her in front of my daughter at the dinner table. So she's seeing and hearing that. And yeah, I am kind of for her. I am bragging a little bit to be like, this is what I got to do today. You know, because for her, you know, we always just like, hey, like, what do you think you want to do? And she's like, I don't really know. She's mentioned a couple of things that we're trying to pursue those. But, you know, I'm just like, hey, like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do till I was like 33. So like you have one, you have like hella time. But on top of that, like, I say like we're normal, you know, like we're just everyday people. I'm like, but we are doing some very like abnormal things in our lives, and you can too.
Yeah.
And that's a great feeling.
And one other thing is like, not only are you you have a skill set there, but you are now a leader within your family and general community as far as literal health. Like people are coming to you for like, Andrew, what do I eat this? Or like,
absolutely,
like
yeah.
You're the guy in the family now.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. That was another thing I was going to mention when it came to like getting in and out of the gym is like, I'm again in this room, obviously if somebody needs, you know, diet workout advice, it's going to, you know, be like 1A, 1B, and then like I'll be 2, and I'm fine with that in this circle right now. In my family, I am the expert. Only because I've been doing it long enough, and I'm around you guys, I'm around our guests. So having that knowledge and that skill set just to be like, yes, that's actually a carb. You know, like when they don't know simple things like that.
Yeah.
Just being able to help that is like help someone with that is extremely empowering as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we're talking about this importance of physicality, I know that there are going to be some people like that's all you guys care about. No, physicality is not all we care about. It's not the only thing that's important to us. We do a lot of learning outside of the stuff mm-hmm. that we do in the gym. We do a lot of that. But the thing is that like that has given us a basis and maybe a level of confidence to be able to go into other realms and do shit mm-hmm. because we already have this thing that like, this is set. Like people see you, like they look at you and like without knowing who you are on social media, you'll go walk through a supermarket mm-hmm. and people will be like, oh shit, he's different. Mm-hmm. Like there's something up with this dude. Mm-hmm. And you're not even trying to fucking peacock. Right. You know what I mean? A lot of these alpha male type channels or whatever, like it's a lot of peacocking. It's a lot of showy. It's like what the watch mm-hmm. on your hand and like the fucking shit that you're wearing. And it's all this peacocking, but you are some of them, like you're still the same lame individual. You're still a lame motherfucker. You're peacocking for everyone to see what you got, but you're not confident. You're just trying to show how confident you are. You can walk through somewhere without the rolly, without anything. Yeah. And people will be like, this guy's got some shit. There's something different about him. Not wealth or whatever, but there's something about you, right? So
it's pretty rare that I even wear some of that stuff. I mean, it's fun. It's nice to have it. It's actually really weird. Like when you have friends that are wealthy,
yeah.
I'm more inclined to not wear it around some of my wealthy friends because they're really wealthy to the point where they don't care anymore. You know what I mean? Like they've been doing it for so long, and there's like so many different forms of like wealth too that people don't understand. I think that people think that you have to make these certain amounts of money, and you actually don't. You do need to get to like a certain amount of money. Like you certainly do. Like there is like kind of a, I don't know, somewhere depending on where you live and shit like that. But if you get to like anything over like 60K and you're able to manage that for a while,
oh yeah,
you're doing really well. You have to manage it for a while though. And you have to be cautious with your money, you know, because you don't have a ton of extra money. So mm-hmm. those are some of the things that people don't really understand. Is that you don't have to make like that. That's a very good salary, but you don't have to make like a crazy amount of money to have a lot. Like when I post something up on social media, it can be really frustrating because the first thing people want to point out is price.
Yeah.
And I am aware that my omega-3 eggs and my Piedmontese hot dog and my raw cheese and my Bubs collagen that's in my coffee from my $5,000 coffee maker that I have in my house that's made with Phil's coffee and so on. I understand how much money all that shit costs, right? But you don't have to necessarily do that. I just am giving examples sometimes of like, this is like what I do. You can do it a different way. When I was younger, I had to do it a different way. I used to have to buy those big packets of beef that were kind of gross. They're like 80, you know, it's 80-20 beef. And I had to eat that. And I couldn't afford to buy like the fancier stuff. It wasn't in my budget at the time, but I was able to afford it over a period of time. But I think what we have in common here on this show is that all three of us have worked through the physical to get to the other side to where we can then work on the mental side of things more. And I think for you, you seems like your mother had a good basis with, you know, where she came from, where she grew up, and instilled in you that education was a huge factor.
Yeah. She got me playing instruments and shit too. Like she wasn't just like she
right.
For, like without realizing, she wanted me to be a well-rounded person. Like she made sure I played sports, but she also made sure that I had fucking went to band practice.
And also a well-rounded man, you know, yeah. like what does it do for a guy that's 6'2", that's 250 pounds, that's in great shape, that can play the piano? You know what I mean? Like it's just another separator. It just makes you a little different, makes you more attractive, you know, makes it, it allows you to, maybe have access to a ton of different options because you played soccer when you were young. Your mom was the one who brought you to the gym, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of these things are huge. And then, you know, people, they just always want to try to, well, I didn't have a mom who did that. You know, and it's like, well, fuck, man, I'm just trying to share my experiences with you. Mm-hmm. I understand that your life may have been different than mine. Maybe you didn't grow up with a kick-ass mom. Maybe somebody didn't grow up with, I was fortunate to have two great parents, two amazing brothers, and an amazing entire family of like 40, 50 people around me and everybody else, which was hugely instrumental. And I do mention it every single time that I ever talk about any success. But I want to get back to, we've all built ourselves up physically. And I was talking to you one day and you were saying, hey, I'm grateful to be on the podcast. And Andrew, I'll tell this to you too. I think I've mentioned this to you in the past, but you guys belong here. Like you're here for a reason. I think the way that you're going about doing things right now in SEMA is the way to go about doing things. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
I was just listening to Joe Rogan this morning. He was talking about how many real top level comedians are there in the entire world. He's like, there might be like 500 of us or something like that. There's not a lot, right? There's not a lot of people that can get a body like yours. And it could be like all these factors that people want to point to. You're on steroids and you're not telling anybody about it. You take a little bit of SARMs, a little bit of growth hormone and some peptides. And you're able to get past some of the testing that you've had to do for some of your natural bodybuilding shows and your genetics, you know, all this different stuff. But the fact remains, you're in amazing shape. And that, I think that is the way to go. The way to go is to explore the things that you can control a lot easier. It may be more difficult for somebody to figure out how to become highly educated, super advanced at a young age and make a lot of money the way that someone like Steve Jobs did. Whew, talk about being like one in a billion or one in a trillion type of person. You know, that's a very, very difficult route. But playing the long game and saying, I'm going to start to introduce some physical activity into my life because I need to move around more. And I've always liked riding my bike when I was a kid. I'm going to get back on my bike tomorrow and I'm going to ride around the block. And then a couple days later, I heard that it's good to get some sunlight. So I'm going to get some sunlight on my bike, wear a t-shirt so I get some of that sun on my skin. And I'm actually going to start to eat a little bit better too. And slowly but surely you pick away and you start to get the body that you at least wanted to work towards. You feel more confident. You drop 10 pounds. Now you feel better about yourself. It's easier to smile. It's easier to tell jokes. It's easier to be happier. Everything gets easier, as Andrew was pointing out earlier.
You know, I think the big overarching theme here or the big umbrella thing is just that you just need to care about self-development. Because self-development, as much as we're talking about physical stuff here, it's not just physicality. It's your skills. What are you able to literally do? And not even just physically, do you have skills to do things that are valuable to people that you can now maybe market out there and you can do something with that skill, whether it's with your job or your business or whatever. What skills do you have that people want or that the market wants? Mm-hmm. And like you did mention, if an individual doesn't have any skills, and you're not going to have that many skills when you're younger, you're not going to feel as valuable. Right. And in truth, you are not as valuable to the marketplace. It doesn't mean you're not a valuable human being that has inherent value to the people around you and emotional value to the people that care about you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you don't have value to the marketplace. So you need to develop a skill. You need to develop something that you can then use and give out to the world with whatever job or whatever it is that you do. And when you develop skills, you become more confident. When I started doing jiu-jitsu when I was 23, it's not that I had a lack of confidence, but when I went into that room and I was the least skilled guy in the room at jiu-jitsu, getting my ass beat by people that weren't in nearly as good shape as me. I've had a girl choke me before when I was a white belt because I was trying some stuff, and like, she was a purple belt and she took my back and choked me. I was like, God damn. Like,
everybody was probably so happy that they were kicking your ass too, because you're so jacked.
Yeah, people were really like, I'm gonna fuck this boy up. Looks like he thinks he's big. Well, let me show you what strength is, boy. And they would fuck me up, right?
When you're bigger in jiu-jitsu, when you just understand this, guys, because like quite a few people have been going and started jiu-jitsu. If you're fit and then you go into jiu-jitsu, that is all the more fuel for those grapplers to kick your ass. Mm-hmm. They will go a little harder on you because you're in shape. Take it. Trust me, it'll be okay. But as I developed that skill and I became proficient in it, and it became a thing that like I could, like, yeah, I do jiu-jitsu and now I feel confident enough to say I'm pretty fucking good at it, right? That gave me a level of confidence, mm-hmm, because of that skill. I'm not out here teaching jiu-jitsu. But an interesting thing is now people are asking me questions about how I do things with jiu-jitsu. And that wasn't the intention. The intention was just for me to develop a skill that I was interested in. But now that skill is valuable to the marketplace and I feel more confident because of it. I also feel more confident walking around. Oh, yeah. Not that I would ever go jiu-jitsu anybody or I'm not looking for a fight, but I do know that if somebody were to try to come up to me and start something, I would try to de-escalate. But if they really tried, I'm gonna take that ass. So, like, you know, build skills. And as a dude, as a guy, this is very important for your confidence level. Yeah, I like how you were pointing out for Mark, you know, saying like he's not gonna read something, but he's gonna definitely still take in things and learn. Because a lot of people, like myself included, would be like, "Oh, I can't read, so I'm not gonna worry about books." You know, it's like there's so many different options.
Yeah, but I go on YouTube and I look, mm-hmm, up the author, you know, and I look at him and he always has a TED talk and I watch that.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then as far as like jiu-jitsu and stuff, like that's something I still want to explore, but I just got to get my back straight.
Yeah.
Get that in order. Like when laying down flat on your back hurts, like probably not a good idea to go roll around right now.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about like how a lot of men are seeking things from like Bedros, mm-hmm, and Elliot, right? Mm-hmm. And I found that like I was lucky enough to be on like sports teams growing up. I played soccer in college a bit. And even like working out for a while was an individual endeavor. But when I came here to Super Training, it turned into another type of team. Like there were people around, right? Mm-hmm. I think there is like something that some men may be missing is just like a community of like other men. And that may be a reason why they're seeking some of these things. Now that I found jiu-jitsu, like it's not just guys there, but there's something that when you're fighting another dude, or like in jiu-jitsu or anything, but when you're sparring and fighting and grappling, there's something there that I think is valuable for men to do. And that I think will give them some type of level of physical confidence, because there are guys in my jiu-jitsu class, like this guy, Julian, he's a black belt. He's like 160. Mm. He's a fucking badass. He's one of my tougher roles because his technique is just so good. But he's confident as fuck. Okay. Not because he has that skill, but also just like something about that physicality, that strength of physicality that he has, even though he's not the biggest guy in the room, you can tell that dude's pretty fucking confident because of it. So that's very important to try to find.
I think a lot of these things are mimicking things that we probably have always done, you know, as humans. We probably, you know, men would probably get together and go hunt. I mean, I'm just assuming, I don't know, you know, I think that women would be together doing different stuff. And I just think that that's kind of always been the way that it is. If you look at my son, he's been coming in here for the last 6 or so months, yeah, with some of his friends. And you look at like all the improvements they're all making, all the changes that their bodies are going through. Even our boy Owen, getting in a lot better shape. Like I think he probably dropped 15 to 20 pounds of body fat. He also is gaining muscle at the same time because it's his first go of like lifting and working out and stuff like that. And they're making great progress, but they're also going through something similar together. They're also going through like a struggle. And where do we get struggle from today? You know, I had somebody more recently, a friend of mine, you know, asked me about losing weight, and they mentioned, they said, I've actually never done one thing in my life that was like difficult or challenging. That was just for me. I've been kind of handed everything.
How old is your friend?
Probably around 28 or so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So still fairly young, but not super young, right? Like that's, but I commended them and just said, that's amazing that you recognize that. That's kind of the first step. You recognize that your life has been very comfortable. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. Not meaning that they didn't never went through anything. Like everyone's gone through something. Everyone's gone through like breakups and everyone's been like sad and mad and all these different things. But they were just referring to the fact that they never really had to do anything really that they felt was really difficult. Mm. And they never really did anything that they felt was like significant for themselves, which I later unpacked and found that that wasn't actually true. It was just kind of a negative feeling that they had about themselves. But, you know, when you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to make those changes like that, these are things that are you're going to have to face them yourself. And it can be very difficult. If you don't have confidence in yourself to do that, you're going to have a really hard time. And then how much easier is it to have confidence when you're amongst peers, when you're amongst other men and dudes are jumping off diving board, you know, let's say you're going off like jumping off a cliff, you know, jumping off a cliff and you're going 10 feet, you know, like 10 feet doesn't sound that crazy. But it's something that I don't even recall if I've ever done before. If I saw a bunch of people going off 10 feet and it looked kind of safe, I would be like, eh, fuck it. 20 feet. I doubt it. I'd probably be out, but it makes it easier. Like that's why you get together, you drink together, you get together, we do a lot of stuff together. It makes a lot of sense. It makes stuff easier. But in our case, and what we try to share here at Super Training is why not make it something that's really positive, something that can really be a benefit, not only a benefit, but can be a skill set and it can be something you can lean into in times of stress. You know, if I'm stressed or if something really tragic happened in my life today, I would come to the gym tomorrow because I would want to see you guys and I'd want to be here and I'd want to train and try to, you know, I don't know how much I would train, but I would be here and I would do something. Maybe I'd go punch the heavy bag or something. You know, I'm not sure exactly what I would do. But in other cases, when my dad or when my brother died and when my mom died, that's immediately what I leaned into. I did a podcast that same day when my mom died.
Yeah.
I shot Andrew a message and I'm like, I'm going to do this podcast and it's going to be for my mom and I'm just going to talk because I feel like talking. But what a cool skill set to be able to lean into rather than like, hey, Andrew, like, man, today's brutal. I'm going to stay in bed. I think I'm going to go out tonight and get a couple drinks. And it's like, well, that could go sideways really fast. You know, you need to be, not that you don't deserve to do that. Like there can be occasions in your life where fuck man, maybe you should let her rip here and there, but you need to also be careful. I know that that's in my family and my mother grew up with alcoholism in her family. And I'm like, well, that's the last thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do something more positive and I'm going to try to stay the course of the things that I like to do.
That's an incredible skill set and a awesome tool to have because how many, I don't want to sound like a dick, but like how many times do you go on like Facebook and somebody's starting another GoFundMe because something happened or, you know, people are reaching out more than they are like just willing to just kind of work through their own things, right? We talked about like antidepressants and all these things that are here because people don't have that skill set to kind of work it out on themselves. Like, so it's, yeah, it's kind of like a superpower that, you know, we're kind of unveiling here that like almost no matter what you go through, like having the ability to figure it out on your own, like not a lot of people have that. Mm. You know, a lot of people are reaching for other things, reaching for alcohol, they're reaching for drugs. I like video games, but like, you know, we had Rolo on talking about people are just being sedated playing video games too. And it's like,
you have self-control with that, man. You're not like out here in an attic sitting having Cheeto dust on your fucking controller. And that's not you.
I was actually like, honestly, like I was kind of sad today because I didn't even realize like it's been over a month since I've played Halo.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh shit, it's been that long. And like, I missed like an event and some nerdy shit, but I was like, fuck.
I got the second Horizon Zero Dawn.
Still in the wrapper.
I've only put in like 10 minutes in that game. Like, yeah. It's so good. Yeah. But I feel you on that.
Yeah. It's like, aw.
All these great games.
Yeah, self-control for sure. I got too much going on.
Yeah.
Fat Project family, how's it going? Now, we like to look good in the gym and out of the gym. That's why you always see Mark and I and Andrew is stepping up on the short game, mm-hmm. wearing shorts from Vuori and clothes from Vuori. And honestly, the number one compliment that I've seen that I've gotten and even Mark's gotten is, damn, your butt looks good. And that's because, well, the clothes we wear make our booties look mm-hmm. delicious. Andrew, how can they get it?
Yeah, you guys both have pretty big wagons. You guys can head over to Vuori.com/power project. That's Vuori.com/power project to receive 20% off the most amazing apparel that looks so good inside and outside of the gym.
It's going to make your ass look fat,
and your ass like will that. Look fat. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. God damn it.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Make your ass look fat.
One thing that I was going to mention here was a lot of these channels, right? A lot of these channels that teach men to be alpha. Right? Or alpha males. And, you know, all these other guys that do this shit, you're a fucking beta male. Man, when I watch some of this shit, it's just kind of goofy. And the reason why I think it's goofy is just because, like for example, Rolo mentioned money, muscles, game. Right? So the money is, you understand money, find a way to make some money. Because as a guy, if you make money, a lot of women look at men not just for the way they look, but their resources. What do you have? What's whatever. So making money, muscles, your fitness, your health. If you don't need to be big and jacked, you just need to look like a healthy individual. If you look healthy, you're going to be desirable. The game aspect of things is really interesting to me because a lot of these guys, they have like pickup tactics, right? For going into settings and picking up women and like, and when I just hear some of the stuff they talk about, I'm just like, it's weird because, you know, all you have to be able to do is just like have an interest in getting to know an individual. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There needs to be a way that you can stand out to this woman. But at the end of the day, if I've had conversations with other friends of mine about this, like if you're actually just genuinely interested in learning about a woman that you're talking to and just like learning what she's about, learning her interests, and you don't talk much about yourself and you just let her talk about herself. And it's not even a tactic. It's just like, talk to her, let her talk about herself. That's going to work. The amount of times that my friends have heard this and I've heard women say, wow, I've never talked to somebody about myself so much before, just because you're actually interested.
Nobody's ever asked me about my day and how it's going.
Like, seriously, just because when I was dating, I never really talked about myself. And my friends that have been successful in that realm too, because a lot of guys are like, it's because you're Tyrone. Okay. If you guys don't get that reference.
That was so funny.
You're Chad, I'm a Tyrone, apparently. A lot of my other friends.
I'll take it.
What would you be, a Juan? I don't know.
Maybe.
Or Jorge? Or Antonio? No. Like Antonio Banderas?
Oh, maybe.
Would you be Antonio?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I don't know.
Yeah, Antonio Banderas is a baddie. anyway, but like a lot of my friends that have been really successful in dating without having to use game, like all they do is they just are interested in getting to know people. And with a lot of these alpha channels, it's weird too, because like when they talk about alpha males and the shit that alpha males do, like the guy that left the comment in Rolo's chat about in the Rolo episode.
So I'm just let me fuck things up real quick. I just okay. I'm laughing because I looked up, I looked up Mexican Chad.
What's his name? Like what is he
doesn't
he
have
be?
One right now.
Oh, they just threw a hat on him.
They threw a sombrero on him and made him brown with the handlebar mustache.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
Oh no, it's fine.
Way too much.
Sorry. Someone left a comment about how alpha men don't negotiate with women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like dog. That's fucking goofy. Like, you're weird. Like, what?
You're weird.
Well, this whole thing doesn't have to be anti-women. It doesn't have to be against right. women.
No.
It doesn't have to be demeaning towards women. It doesn't have to do anything negative with females. It's just more positivity for men to lean into some masculinity. Mm-hmm. And how you define that's kind of up to you. You know, I know nowadays it can be – I don't know. People can make it out to be whatever way they want to make it out to be. But I have my own view of some of those things. And they're things that I think are important for me to do. And my wife has some things that she feels are important for her to do as a woman.
She's improving herself too.
Yeah, right.
Self-improvement.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. And what's wrong with working on just being an interesting person? Being an interesting person, being an attractive person. I'm not just talking about the looks. Imagine you're at a party and a girl is talking to a couple people. And she goes around the room and talks to a couple of different people, getting introduced to different people from friends or something. And she stops on one guy and finds out that he's a singer. Oh. Interesting, right? Like that
panty dropper.
Yeah, right. Well, it's just it's different, right?
Yeah,
it's different.
I lift, I bench a lot of weight.
I eat a lot of protein and I fart a lot. It stinks up my couch in my room, you know. You know, so it's
gotta find just, this meme.
Just being, you know, being a person of interest and being someone that is attractive, even being fun, even just being playful and like making up a name. Like, am I going to get anywhere with the name Mark? Like, it's going to be a little harder. So when I introduced myself to girls, I would always just call myself Smelly because it's a nickname.
Hey.
And I could go off of their reaction. And they what that does is that they ask questions. They're like, what's the name? They automatically just think that you fart all the time, you know. But yeah. Then you can have conversation about it. A name like Encima is already like an interest. Oh, yeah.
Wait, what is this? I've seen this recently.
That is just so fucking funny. All I can think about is this is the guy telling the girl, like, I lift. And, yep, I just squat bench dead.
What, does he have a beer in his hand or something?
Yeah, they're at a party. And she's just like, fuck, bro.
He's all short.
He's like, no, you don't get it. Like, yeah, I take Trent.
Oh my God. This meme, I've seen it on so many things. So let me tell you about what women are supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's what it's.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But no, what you were saying there, like, hey man, that's some game. That's some game. Mm-hmm. But also what you're saying is you focus on yourself. The weird thing about a lot of these channels, man, is that I like Rolo because Rolo hits you with statistics, okay? Like, he hits you with some just truths, and that's good. There's some times where I see in some of his content where it's like, there's a lot of focus on, like, what women are doing, and I get that, but I understand it. But when the audience sees some of this, as a man, when you understand certain things, what's that going to – does that help you become a better – like, does that help you get better? Because even Rolo said he's not in the business of helping men become better men. I understand that. He's just giving men some statistical truths. But with some of these channels, when they say like, oh, this is the way women are and you can't trust this about women and like all this type of shit, I'm just like, that's not helping you become a better dude. Maybe
you got
like
the same thing being preached on the other side from women. You can't trust men. All men are dogs. And it's like, I don't think any of that leads us to anything healthier. I do think it makes sense for both sides to be cautious and for both sides to have strategy and not just to fall in love with every single person that gives you a wink or gives you a kiss on the cheek or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Even though that can be hard because women can smell really good. They could have pretty hair. They give you a kiss on the cheek and it's over. You're like, I'm getting married. How do we sign me up?
Yeah, absolutely. And along with that, like when it comes to the red pill stuff, a lot of it's cool, but the red pill turns into, you'll see a lot of comments of dudes that are just like, just shitting on women. And at the end of the day, like, how does that help you become a better dude? Like, how does it help you improve in ways that's going to help you get a better skill set, make you more desirable, improve yourself so that you can be better, not for women, but when you're confident, you're just confident in yourself and what you're able to do. It's not all just for women. But then if you're trying to get women, that just becomes an easier process because you are now a better man. You remember that podcast we did in the old studio where we kind of talked about this and we just said, you guys got to level. We all as men, we should be in a constant state of leveling up. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys got angry at that. Like, we're trying to level up too, yo. We're not just telling you to level up. We're trying to level up ourselves too. We're like I told this to, what's her name, Hannah Eden, when I was on her podcast, and I realized it. She's like, what's your end goal? And my goal is to become the absolute best man that I can be, right? Because I feel like as I do that, I'm unlocking certain skills with, we have different podcast guests, and then we're able to share that with our audience and help them become better as we're becoming better. And in our journey to all become the best men we can be, we're also helping other men become the best men they can be. That's it. It's a selfish endeavor, but it helps other people.
I don't know what it looks like from women because I'm not a woman, so I can't say. But from a guy's perspective, I think the thing that we end up admiring the most is when someone is extremely powerful, but they don't even use that power. They just don't even tap into it. They don't even fuck with it. They don't mess with it. They don't abuse it, certainly. Mm. It's like the guy that can just, a guy that can just be cool. A girl could be drooling over him, but he's got somebody else. He recognizes it. He might think is whatever thoughts he's thinking, but he doesn't act on it. Like, that shit's cool. Like, there, that stuff is admirable to me. People that have money or people that have power outside of, or people that have power like in our society, and they don't use it. They don't abuse it. They don't need to. They feel comfortable. The guy who could kick someone's ass in a fight that has been training MMA for a long time. Somebody barks at him and he's just like,
looks at them.
Yeah. Just says, hey man, not today. I don't fight. Like the guy that just turns the other cheek. The guy could have completely slaughtered the guy, but it just, there's a lot of cases where it just doesn't make any sense. Like that's not a, in some cases, somebody's so skilled at fighting to where it's not any different than like beating up a child.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Jocko, like real talk. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but like, I think that most guys that are in your shoes, you know, that's somebody would have to do something really wild, I would imagine, because you're like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
For me to fuck with you because I do this every day.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, but. You know, that you remind me of a quote from Jordan Peterson. He mentioned that something about like, Andrew, if you could find it, just type in Jordan Peter dangerous. It's going to pop up. But like men have to have the ability to be dangerous or be dangerous, but not show it, like not use it, like not use the weapons that they have. Right. So. Like you may have certain skills that could be used for evil, that could be used to like do bad things, that could be dangerous, and you're a dangerous man, but you're not using that to for that. Would you, yeah, if you
do,
found it?
Do dangerous things carefully.
Do dangerous things carefully, right? When you do dangerous, like honestly, lifting really, really heavy weights is a dangerous thing. Do it carefully. Mm-hmm. Martial arts, very dangerous thing. Do it carefully. Business in some sense could be a dangerous thing. Do it carefully, right? We're just talking about getting certain skills. And that's why when we bring all these different people on the podcast, we're always trying to learn more. We're not all like, at least I'm not coming at it with like, this is what I know. I'm not doing that shit.
What's another panty dropper? Knowing a bunch of languages.
Oh, dog. And that's where
I understand it's not easy. Like I don't speak multiple languages. I barely can speak English as it is.
Yeah.
It drives my wife nuts when I speak Spanish.
Oh, there you go.
Every time.
Oh,
I'm like, fuck, I got to keep practicing.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's fucking knowing some shit about geography. Somebody says I'm from Chicago and you know some shit about Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
Like just not being an idiot, you know,
and not and simply,
showing,
yeah,
and showing some general, like you're saying, some general interest. We're saying Chicago, like, I'm sorry, I'm kind of naive. I like, what part of Chicago? Like, where is it? It's pretty cold there, from what I understand. You try to learn more about it.
Yeah.
Is it cold there? You know, they'll be like, it's 20 degrees.
You're curious.
It's the fucking windy city. They'll tell you, right? You'll have a conversation about it.
Seriously. No, like that right there, it's being inquisitive and curious. And somebody that honestly comes off as a know-it-all is not generally attractive to, but that's the thing. A lot of individuals think that, look, if I just come in and I show everything I got and I show everything I know, like, nah, that actually makes it look like an asshole.
Yeah. Like,
very much so.
You just look like an asshole.
And talking about how much money you make always works.
And that's honestly, that's a dangerous thing. Because you know what?
Gross.
You know what though? That can work, and it can reel in a certain type of woman, because when you show that and you're like, this is what I got,
check out my market value,
check this out, that will reel in a woman that's attracted to that.
The Tinder swindler, right?
I still gotta watch that.
I haven't finished it yet, but right? The Tinder swindler, like
he was getting models,
right? And it's he showed that, but like, hey, they got duped. That's sad. that's honestly quite unfortunate. But this is the thing. Like, one thing that I guess I never really did is when I was dating, I never made any type of I always keep things pretty chill when it comes to what I have, because I'm not actually a person that like needs excessive things in general, but I also I'd never let the woman I know what I was making or how much I was bringing in, because I knew that if she comes in primarily because of what I'm making or what she knows about my bank account, that doesn't mean that she's here for me. Like, that's why it's honestly really dope that you found Andy when you did, because
I was broke.
She knew you when you were broke, and now you're making millions, but she still loves you for you. At a certain point for men, if you're out here flashing all that
shit. I got Gary V this relationship
soon. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
God damn. That's right. No, Mark, that was a good joke. I like that. That was a great joke. But it can be dangerous, because if you're reeling a woman in with money, then she's there for money. If there ever comes a point, there never comes a point where you lose it, but it's your money that's attractive. She's not interested in you. She's interested in what you can do for her. And when you're dealing with a person that's what they're interested in, they become a liability. Like,
they can be.
They can be.
You know, I think sometimes it depends, because sometimes it seems like both are okay with the arrangement. Sometimes
sugar daddies.
Yeah, a guy might be 60, the girl might be 30,
hey. And
they're both cool with it. I've seen those relationships. And
that's true.
I mean, I don't know if they're working, but it looks like they're working sometimes. So sometimes those things work out okay. And I think everyone has their own interpretation of how a relationship should go.
Yeah.
When we had Rollo on the show, he kind of misinterpreted something that I said, and I forgot to kind of backtrack on it. I was mentioning the way that things used to be, like in the 50s and 60s, and I was referencing the posters that you see of women, and it, like, they still have them today. They have them like restaurants and stuff. And it will say, cause these are old posters that are part of our, and it will say like, make sure that you have the house clean for your man, when he comes home, have dinner ready, and like all these things that, like, you know, women should be doing, that nowadays would be, more frowned upon. I was not trying to reference that as being some sort of golden,
the good old days.
Yeah, no, I was not referencing that at all. What I was referencing was that old America, the way that it was at that time, the way that people would talk about what's going on today, the older folks, they say, there goes the neighborhood. There's my greatest fear coming true. Like, women having the ability to vote, and women having the power, and having all these things. I think a lot of those people from those days, because they believed in those things, those posters weren't completely made up for no reason. Mm-hmm. People believed in those values at that time. So that's what I was referring to. And that's what I was referring to. Do you think some of what's going on today, and the reason why you have a job today, Rollo, do you think that it's an overcorrection? And I didn't mean that I thought that those times were good. I just meant like, because of the way things were, and women didn't even have the right to vote and all these other things that were going on at that time, women weren't really in the workplace. And now we're seeing like there's literal laws to hire women for certain things. There's literal laws with giving scholarships to females for sports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so that's what I meant. Like, did he feel that it was like a correction from some of these times to mm-hmm. try to I guess advance women back to being more on the equivalent playing field of men? That's kind of what I was referring to.
Equity, equal opportunity.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I think most people that know you would understand what you're saying. But the new guys that come into the audience,
and when he was saying,
like, yeah, we want that.
Yeah. When he was saying like, oh, the good old days, I was like, I do not.
Oh man.
Yeah. I totally got what you were saying. And I think you're right on with that. Ideology. Because mm-hmm. I'm looking at, none of them are going to look good on camera or on screen. But yeah, like there's tons of different things, like the Good Wife's Guide. And it's just like a bunch of stuff that like a wife is supposed to do. Have dinner ready, plan ahead, even the night before to have a delicious meal ready on time. Prepare yourself, clear all the clutter, prepare the children, minimize noise. Do not greet your husband with problems or complaints. Make him comfortable. Listen to him.
That's my kind of woman.
Now look,
where'd that go? Yeah. I'm joking.
Now, if you read that again and say that you do that as a partnership, you do that as a team. Mm. That's actually, those rules are super fucking valuable.
Yeah,
like you do it together. Let's clear off the table because the table's got a bunch of packages and stuff from Amazon or whatever the hell it is. You clear off the table, you do it together. Your kids maybe even help. Then you put out the dishes, you help prepare dinner together, or you take turns doing it. All those various mm-hmm. things. So all those rules are great. It's just that back then it said wife, and it probably shouldn't have. You
mm-hmm. know? Yeah.
So, and they literally couldn't do certain things outside of that, like jobs and opportunities.
And then here's where I think some of the overcorrection can come from, because the last one that I couldn't read was make the evening his. He is special. Never complain that he does not take you out to dinner or to other pleasant entertainment. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure, his need to unwind and relax.
Relieve that pressure by sucking his dick.
Remember that you relaxed all day waiting for his return. Now it's his turn to enjoy what you enjoyed.
That's fucking horrible, man.
So I'm like, at first I'm like, yeah, it's not bad. You know, let him, yeah.
The
and
cool, then, cool oh. part is Andrew just wrote that.
We actually have that printed out right when you walk into the house.
But okay, but hey, you know what's an interesting...
Stephanie, here's your rules. Sign here. Yeah.
You know what's an interesting thing, though? In some situations, like where it's a monogamous partnership with individuals that do want to have children, women do have to take they have to make a sacrifice if they're working to now like have children. Like, I don't know, like in the United States, if there's a little bit, what's it called? When you get to leave work,
maternity
leave, mm-hmm. right? But in some situations when a woman, let's say that she has multiple kids and there is no one else, like they don't have a babysitter or whatever, and the man has to mm-hmm. work and she stays at home. There's nothing wrong with that. And that is a partnership, you know, like there should be no reason that the man that's going out and bringing in the finance, like in that situation, that's bringing in the finances, and she's over here spending time taking care of human beings.
Right.
Like that is work. Right. And there's a reason, you know, like there's a reason why in certain jobs, like high levels of doctors, professors, lawyers, you see women enter those jobs, and there's people that talk about like, you don't see many women in high power positions like this. One of the reasons why you don't see as many women in these types of high power positions is because some of them end up having children. And when that happens, they sometimes leave the workplace where men can work 70, 80 hour weeks without having to make the sacrifice of children and get to those higher mm-hmm. positions. So it's not even the idea of those women not having the opportunity. It's the idea that many women just don't want to be there at the point that they end up having children, which might be in their 30s. And it's going to take you a long time to get to those positions. That's why we see more men in those positions.
Women have it kind of tough in a lot of ways because, like, I think that, you know, a woman getting a job in a workplace that you have, like, where you have to be present in the workplace.
Yeah.
It's always identified that you're a woman, and it's always identified that you look a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And women are kind of damned if they do and damned if they don't. Like, if they underdress, you know, then people are like, she kind of dresses like a soccer mom when she comes into work. And if you dress up nicely,
she's looking for attention.
It could be sexualized in 10 seconds. And so it's, there still is a lot of unfair bullshit that goes on that makes all of this, like, way more difficult. And the reason why I try not to ever speak from the side of a woman's side, I just don't think I know anything about it. And that would kind of suck that you're not getting, you're not only getting judged on your merit. And the same thing happens with racism all the time. You're just not getting judged on just what you're doing, how you're performing. There's always some underlying bullshit that's going on that you don't have any control over.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that shit's rough.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Did you see this on Rolo's thing?
I saw that.
Oh, yeah, the Barbie.
Oh.
When it's time to get drafted.
Yeah. But I think in Ukraine right now, I'm not sure if it's Russia or Ukraine. I don't want to sound uneducated, but I did see that there are men from the ages of 18 to 60. They're being pretty much put towards for war. Like in those countries, that's like, there's...
Do we even have a draft here anymore?
I don't know.
I don't know exactly what it was, but I know there was like a mention of it on Twitter and it kind of went viral. Mm. And somebody was just like, hey, 99% of you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Like you're all out of shape. You're on drugs. Like you're good.
But there'd be a lot of people that'd probably be interested in, you know, like I know that when 9/11 happened, there was a lot of people that were like,
that spurred a lot of people.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to, you know, go pursue this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, a draft, that's pretty crazy. Like just to be uprooted from what you're doing because you're a certain age. I mean, I don't know what other way. Do you just let your country get overtaken? I don't know the answers to any of that.
Yeah. But it's, all of that's really wild. But in essence, what we're just trying to say here, and we're going to talk more about topics like this. You know, guys, if you're listening on iTunes, come to the YouTube channel and comment your thoughts on some of the things we're talking
about.
The Maniverse. But we'll call it the Maniverse just because, like, what the fuck? Who cares?
Right, why not?
I like the Maniverse. I like that it's like we kind of got it wrong, but, like, everyone knows what we're talking about.
Maniversity.
It's like, oh, fuck.
I graduated from the Maniversity.
Yeah. But, I mean, for men, you got Elliot Hulse's, like, grounding camp and Bedros Koulian. He has, like, a thing for men, too. I think a big aspect of that's community. But, like, guys, come into the comment section and let us know what you think we might be missing. Like, I'm 29, and I dated a lot last year. And, Mark, you're married successfully, right? In a good marriage where it's like a partnership. Andy's a killer fucking businesswoman. Mm-hmm. And you guys have literally built something that not many people can hold a candle to. Andrew, you're happily married. You have two kids, right? I think there's just a lot of range here. And I think that we kind of look at dating and these things kind of differently than a lot of other people too. Partially it's because of like the goals we have. I don't have the goal of just trying to sleep with as many chicks as possible. I actually want to build something with an individual. It looks like I don't give a fuck about notch counts and all that shit. Mm-hmm. I think that's honestly just like useless bullshit that just wastes time from doing useful things.
I think for some people, they might not even need some of the advice that's out there because if you're like, why even worry about the women that are playing men? Just don't even, I do understand that those women could have a certain look that you desire, but not all and not always. Like, you just got to figure out a way to play it cool. And I think from the female side as well, like, there's dudes out there that are nice looking dudes that have a good heart that aren't scumbags. Like, you just, it's not easy. You know, when you're single, it's not easy. Yeah. But guess what else is not easy? not easy to be married either. Mm. It's not easy to be married with children. It's not easy to be engaged. It's not easy to be in a relationship. It's not easy to be in multiple relationships. It's not even easy to have multiple wives. You know, these different things that people are exploring more nowadays, like, it's not easy. None of it's easy. Yeah. Exploring yourself and trying to figure yourself out is fucking hard enough as it is. Then you add somebody else to the mix, and then you start a family, and you add a bunch of other people to the mix. Andrew's got two kids. He's got a couple dogs. Like,
the dynamic changes quickly.
Yeah, and you got a baby. You know, like, a baby is a whole nother fucking thing. It's its own little thing, and it just keeps advancing faster and faster, and you got to, like, put in a cage and, like, try to slow it down or something, because it's too much to handle.
Yeah, he takes off, man. He's fast.
Oh, shit, is he hauling ass now?
He's so fast, like, because he'll get into the kitchen. And
is he on his two legs yet, or is he crawling?
No, he's crawling.
His diaper makes that whoosh, 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 right? Right when he crawls, right?
Yeah, he's fast, and he's just like a blur. But, like, once he gets into the kitchen, he can, like, slide on his knees, but he grips with his hands. So you just hear, and he just, like, he's gone.
Wow.
So we got one of those.
This kid's got to be stopped, I'm telling you.
We got one of those playpen things, and, like, we shape it into, like, an octagon.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just, like, and he just terrorizes, like, all the toys inside there, too. And if there's any dogs around, fuck, good luck. Like, he's swiping at him, like, hey, you got to be nice. And he just thinks it's funny. He thinks everything's funny. Right now, he has this, like, fake laugh going on. But it will make you laugh really hard.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It started 3 days ago. It's funny. So strange.
It's funny when, like, kids just discover things about the world.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that with my friend's daughter. Like, she just suddenly started speaking out of nowhere. And just saying everything that everybody said. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, she's sentient. there it is.
It's like when the AI turns on and it's like, oh shit, I didn't think it was going to be that smart.
Oh, Andrew, I was going to ask you a question I forgot. You mentioned when you went to the gym with Stephanie that you would be worried that someone would come up and talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what made you want to go into the gym in the first place if you thought that was going to happen? And secondly, what got you through that or past that?
Yeah. Well, sorry.
I mean, you're not worried about it from her end.
No,
but it's just a thing in your head. Like, some buff dude's going to come, like, tell her how much he bench presses or something.
Yeah. I didn't know what was going to happen, but
I benched 315 for a set of five. And she's like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's this guy right here talking to her. So, no, honestly, like, without being too emotional about it, but yeah, it was like scar tissue from a previous relationship. Mm. Anytime, like, you could tell somebody that was more financially advanced than me, bigger, he got the attention when I didn't.
You know, but do your ex make my ex comments?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, oh, he's hot, or he's...
Oh, he really cleans up nice. Like, the fuck does that supposed to mean?
Yeah, those, like, comments are rough.
Yeah. So
that's, like, not good.
So that stuck with me for sure. And it's unfortunate that, like, a lot of that stuff resurfaces around my wife, who's, like, never done anything wrong to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so that's where, like, that started. And I remember one time a dude did talk to her in the gym, and then, like, I kind of, like, walked up, and he just, like, completely ignored me. I was like, fuck that, that ain't ever happening again. So just to get through it, like, I guess I just focused on getting better myself, like, just having the confidence to, like, not worry about that at all.
Guys are such dirtbags with that sometimes. They just can be. Yeah, pretend you're not there.
Yeah, I'm like, bruh, like, we're all right here. Yeah.
You know what, though? You know what is a cool thing, though? Like, a lot of guys will use the prior experience of an ex, mm-hmm. like your prior experience with an ex,
mm-hmm.
And they, because so many men have had horrible experiences, and they will now paint women in that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I've talked about experiences out of my ex. She did cheat. Mm-hmm. Like, probably not with just one person either. Like, yeah. Like, I found that out a little later. But the thing is like, I realized where I went wrong in choosing a certain type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Person who likes to club, a person that drinks a lot of fucking alcohol. Like that, that's the lifestyle, right? And when a person is living an unhealthy lifestyle, doing all those things, they're probably going to be doing unhealthy things. So that is not that right there. I don't use that as, like, this is how women are. I'm going to take this into whatever relationships and have trust mm-hmm. issues. I just know I need to find a different type of woman in a different type of setting That's the, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I need to find someone who is focused on their health, focused on personal development, you know, like has certain responsibilities. So you know that they're in some shit. You know what I mean? Like it's different. And you didn't let, like you developed yourself, but you didn't let that affect your relationship with Stephanie. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of guys go through shit with women, and we all have, but now they just become these doomer dudes that are like, yeah,
doomers.
Can't, you know, these women out here, cheaters.
Yeah.
And they're sluts all, and whores. Like, come on, bro. You had a bad experience. Yeah. We've all had a bad experience.
Yeah. No, there was I'm not going to lie, like being totally honest, there was a little bit of that. Like when I was talking to Stephanie, I was just like, yeah, I'm probably never going to get married again. Like that was just like a terrible experience.
Yeah.
And man, I'm so glad I was way wrong. But mm-hmm. after talking to Rolo on the show, like it does make sense. I mean, she was, I think 24 or 25. At that time, you know, I was kind of bouncing around from job to job, just trying to find my way somewhere. And she happened to make more money than me. So now we're talking a 24-year-old that makes more than the guy that, you know, so it's like, okay. It was just like square peg in a round hole. Like it
she
just
didn't respect you.
No, not at all. No, not at all. Absolutely not. No. Yeah. And so it just was never going to work out. Yeah. And I'm glad that I was able to hit that eject button when I could, and I did.
But was that experience valuable for you?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
That absolutely. Kind of stuff is so interesting, because then you tell your buddy, like, oh man, I think it's not working out. And they're like, thank God.
Yes.
They're like, oh, finally you woke up. Like you finally understand, like she just doesn't like you the way that you like her. Uh-huh. And it's not going to ever work.
Did you have homies telling that to you?
No, I just had one buddy that, like, I remember the night that like it officially like was like done. I was talking to him about everything and mm-hmm. just being like, fuck dude, like I think this might actually like be it finally. But like, I remember I had like friends like in high school, and just being like, I don't know, man. Like, I saw her talking to so-and-so. And it's like, oh, that's weird. But, like, it's so strange. Like, when you're in it, you're completely lost. But then also, like, on her end, and I'm not going to talk bad about her at all. But, like if you know you're not, like, 100% into a dude, why would you say yes? And, like, why would you keep going? And I understand there's the sunken cost theory and all that shit.
There's also monkey branching.
Okay. That see, now that I understand that. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
You heard of monkey branching?
No.
Well, monkey branching, both men and women can do this, but you like when people talk about it, it's like monkey branching is when somebody is kind of done in a relationship, but they're holding on to their certain branch as they go look for a certain mm-hmm. other thing to mm-hmm. latch on to, and then they can swing away. And a funny little thing is once I broke up with my ex, the person she was cheating with, like a few weeks later, she posted some stuff on her story with that dude.
So like, monkey branching, for
monkey
sure.
branching, absolutely yeah. monkey branching, bro.
That's but strange.
Again, as dudes, we're many of us. Some of us have been fortunate enough not to have a bad experience with women, and that's great. But we will go through some shit with them. Mm-hmm. Do not take that experience and then paint women that way. Just what you got to realize is, first off, you got to become a better man for yourself, not for women. And then find better women in maybe different situations and different settings. Because I was like, I dated a party girl. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. that's not good. You know what I mean? And I'm not a party guy. Mm-hmm. I don't like those settings. I don't club. I don't drink. I don't like, that's not my thing. It's a waste of time for me. Right. So that was my fault.
My brother-in-law, who at the time wasn't my brother-in-law, he was my employer when I first moved mm-hmm. to the area. He's like, oh man, I broke it off with my fiance today. And he was complaining about her previously. He was the manager of the bar that I was a bouncer at. Oh. And I said, well, that's great. I'm going to hook you up with April. Now they're married and they have three kids. So boom, there you go.
You were the guy.
I was the guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he already knew her too. They actually went to school together, or they went to school in the same area. But I think he ended up going to a different school. But they definitely knew of each other, and I think she always kind of had the hots for him, and he was always digging her too. So when I got the job, my brother-in-law was trying to figure out how he didn't know me, because mm-hmm. he's like, he knows everybody in the area, and he's worked in bars for forever. And he was asking all these questions. I said, well, I'm originally from New York. And he's like, well, what are you doing here? And I was like, well, I married a girl that's from here. And he's like, well, what's her name? I said, Andy. And he was like, Andy. And then he was like, what's her maiden name? And I said, Greaves. He goes, oh my God. He's like, the Greaves sisters. He's like, they're hot. and then he went, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm at April. He's like, what's April up to or whatever? Yeah.
That's so
oh
funny.
My God.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So great hearing that story, knowing the whole family now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagining you guys, you know, however many years ago now.
Yeah. It's
just
weird.
In a bar talking. Like, that's so funny.
You know what's a funny
bizarre
thing?
Shit, right?
Yeah. Like, he said they're hot, right? Did that make you feel any type of way? Where you're like, yeah, she is hot. Like, really?
No, yeah.
You know, an interesting thing is, like, as dudes.
No, and there's sometimes if a guy looks at your girl, I think it's kind of cool, but there are ways to look at a girl and there's ways to, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
when a guy's like really staring and like burning a hole in him, you're like, that's not cool. And
gawking.
Yeah.
It was funny. We were on a walk. Last week. And you know, some dudes in their work truck just like happened to pull over, and like, cause we live close to In-N-Out. So they got In-N-Out and they pulled over next to like their next job, which was like our neighbor's house. And we're walking, and she's wearing yoga pants, looking all hot. And we're walk past them as they're looking forward. And I just look over, I'm just like, babe, I'm like, those two guys are staring directly at your ass right now. And then she's like, no, they're not. I'm like, no, I know for a fact that they are.
Cause I do it.
And she like, kind of like, she didn't really know what to say. You know, yeah. I was just like, you're hot. Like that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know? And she just thought it was really funny, but like, yeah. I'm not going to like turn around and go, what are you looking at? Like that would have been so stupid, but like, I don't know, I just thought it was funny because I'm like, I know for a fact that they are staring at your ass right now.
Yeah. But hey, she's with you.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't worried about it.
You know what I mean? And the thing is like, as both you guys get older and you guys both continue to get in better shape, like,
yeah,
bro, you're going to be getting more looks too. And she's going to be like, yeah, that's my zaddy with that beautiful beard. Like, oh, dude,
somebody commented on the Rolo episode, like, damn, Andrew's wearing a Wu-Tang sweater and a zaddy hat. That was pretty cool.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it was great. You know, we're pushing my son in a stroller. He's 1 year old and she's already looking fantastic. And he's like, I'm proud of my wife. She did good.
There we fucking go.
Yeah. That's dope. Take us out of here, Andrew.
All right, everybody. Thank you for checking out today's episode. Let's go for this shot. It is in.
Yeah.
Attaboy. Made it.
Oh.
I know. I think I got to set up a trash cam.
A trash cam. That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. I got enough.
We need a little backboard over there.
Something. And then like a buzzard and like fucking sun. Yeah, all that stuff.
Oh, buzzer beater.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right. Anyway, thank you everybody for checking out today's episode. Sincerely appreciate it. Please like today's episode on YouTube and comment anything you guys want down below. And then if you guys are listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform, head over to the YouTube channel and drop us some comments about anything you heard on today's episode. We would sincerely appreciate that. Follow the podcast at Mark Bell's Power Project on Instagram, at MB Power Project on TikTok and Twitter. My Instagram and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where can people find you? That's talented.
What's that move called? Suplex. Is that suplex?
Suplex. Dang.
He's a suplexing Jesus. John Cena. Oh guys, please, if you're listening on iTunes, come over to YouTube, leave a comment. And there's a lot of people, there's a high percentage of people that watch the cast that aren't subscribed.
Yeah.
The subscribe button, like Andrew said. Yeah. They hate me whispering at them, by the way.
Oh yeah, they do. We have to do that thing.
We do have to do that thing. At Nsema Yin Yang on Instagram and YouTube, at Nsema Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter, Mark.
I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. I want to give a shout out to my son, Jake Bell. He got a job in and out. I'm proud of him.
Hey!
Which one?
It's the one in Woodland, so we all have to go.
Okay.
We have to drive by sometime and harass him.
I'll see him all the time. I'm in Woodland frequently.
I'll get like there eight Flying Dutchmen. We should all go together and just get a disgusting amount of Flying Dutchmen and make sure he's there.
And see if we can mess everything up, right?
They pay a fuck ton of money to start, and then like they just keep getting raises, but... I found that interesting because I went there this past weekend. Well, I went to go visit my mom.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just like, damn, they're hiring. It's like, wait, how much do they pay? Like, God, hold on.
Nah. Let's go, Jake.
Way to go, Jake.
Yeah. He applied at one place and he didn't get the job. And then he was like, oh, he's like, the interview didn't go so well. And I said, well, next time you can just kind of think about what you're going to say. And he's like, I didn't. He's like, when they asked about job experience, he's like, I kind of froze up and I didn't say much. And I was like, well, then I was mentioning all these different things that he's done and all these things that he, I mean, he helps my dad with taxes but does a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, the second time around was a charm. And so now he's got a job. So see how it goes from here. Mm-hmm. I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never a weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch you guys later.